It occurs to me that there's a benefit to passing experience on by writing it down, and that's distance. Most advice, most life guidance, is given in some context. It's given at the moment it applies, which means that it's often tainted by the particulars of that moment. For example, if the day comes that either of my girls comes home from high school with a 40-year-old boyfriend, I sincerely doubt the twin furies of fear for her and rage at him will allow me to give a reasoned argument as to why he's not a great choice. Even if I could, I suspect the homicidal way I'd be looking at him would make listening to me pretty hard. Writing it all out removes the limitations brought on by context. Limitations not just on a dad's ability to give counsel, but also on a daughter's ability to hear it. My wife and I are learning, slowly, but we're learning, not to let discussions of important things go on too long if one or both of us are angry, especially at each other. Angry minds are seldom open, and I would guess scared or miserable minds function the same way. That is, they don't function. Distance, whether it's achieved by walking around the block to cool off, or spending the time to put what you feel on paper, is the most important tool you'll have in dealing with situations in your life. Distance dampens anger and calms fear. It'll serve you well if you let it. Consider all that follows as a father's advice, given as he would most like you to hear it. Guidance that's from the heart and the mind and not from the reactive gut. These are life lessons that are passed along with a sense of hope, not a sense of urgency or resignation. This is guidance that comes with a healthy dose of distance. But understand that the word distance refers only to the removal I feel to the specifics of the questions a daughter might ask and the situations that she may be in as she grows up. There isn't the slightest bit of distance in the feelings that I have for my girls as their father. The chapters ahead are a distillation of what I know about the world, which I hope you'll use as you see fit. First, though, let me tell you what I know about being a dad. Daughters are dreams come true. For me, that's literal. It was always my dream to be the father of girls, just as some men dream of playing center field and others dream of running large companies. I wanted daughters. It'd be swell to be able to explain why to you, but I can't. Whatever the reason, getting what I wanted has proved humbling, in that it has revealed the inadequacy of my imagination. I never in my wildest dreams imagined the depth of emotion being a dad has brought out in me. I realize the sappiness of that, but I revel in it. And perhaps that's the greatest gift a daughter can give her father. Because they haven't yet amassed a lifetime of hang-ups or gender notions or any of that fun stuff that cost my fellow New Yorkers $200 a 45-minute hour to hash out with professionals, my girls have helped me see what's missing from a life led with emotional caution. They've taught me that there's no shame in the tears that form when one of them tells me, solemnly, that they love me bigger than the moon and stars, and that there's plenty of shame in not recognizing such moments as the best that life could ever offer. Having daughters has taught me that the words, I love you, shouldn't be saved for private moments, but should be shouted across Grand Central Station at the height of rush hour. The good stuff, love, happiness, and pride, needs to be celebrated openly and regularly. I plan on spending the rest of my life thanking my girls for teaching me that. One other thought before we start. A quick note on what I guess I'll call dead bird syndrome. Some time ago, I was walking my younger daughter, Maggie, to the garage where we park our car. She was singing that god-awful Titanic song for the millionth time to me, while I was remarking upon how grown up she seemed now that I no longer had to carry her. My knees and my back were particularly thankful. We were both smiling and chattering away until I saw a dead bird in our path. So I did what parents do. I distracted her until we were safely past the brown shape on the sidewalk. And she did what children do. She laughed when I scooped her up and swung her around, and she remained wonderfully oblivious to my reason for doing so. It was only later that I realized I'd done Maggie a disservice. My intentions were good, but in shielding her from evidence of a very basic fact of life, I robbed her of the ability to notice it and to talk about it and maybe to put it in its proper place. I'm not melodramatic enough to think that the one instance has any great significance, like it would cure her of the fear of death or anything, but I do believe that my impulse was wrong in that case. It's the little, everyday examples of tough things like death that help prepare you for the big and frequent examples. So, I'll continue to hustle her out of the room when the evening news wallows in the latest mindless act of cruelty, but I'll try a bit harder to stop acting like a human blinder. I'll try a bit harder to let her see the whole world and the flaws included therein.